Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to The Conversation. This week on The Conversation, mentoring. We all have mentors in our lives. For me, I woke up into the world of cooking thanks to a six-year-old kid, myself, watching Jerry Child. My life inspiration was apprenticing with a German chef, Shelley Hubert. Even Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, had an inspiration and a mentor in Colonel Sanders. My radio inspiration is someone who I've admired for a long time, and that's Don Imus. And what did Don Imus do that changed, in my opinion, the course of this nation? That, plus some of my paranormal roots, the conversation begins right now. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Timothy 4:17. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And welcome to the program, and to my girl Melissa and my sister Lisa and Larry and all those out there listening. Thank you so much. Your half an hour is not wasted. And as I talked about at the beginning of the show, everyone has a mentor, someone that changed their life. If it wasn't for me seeing Julia Child throw a melon up in the air, put a saber on the table, and it hit the blade, and the melon split in two, I wouldn't be a chef. Not many people realize this, but Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, actually had several KFC franchises, and his mentor was Colonel Sanders. And if you've ever wondered why Dave Thomas has square burgers, it's not really a shape. It's Dave Thomas's commitment to never cutting corners. I always looked up, when I was a kid, I loved Don Imus. He was that guy that you didn't always agree with, but you wondered, what's he going to say next? What's he going to do, you know? And what did he do that changed the course of this country forever? I can tell you what it is and what I believe. This is my opinion. But when he talked about that Rutgers women's basketball team, and I don't mean to offend anybody by this, but when he called them nappy-headed hoes, that was his freedom of speech that he used. And when he basically, you know, well, I just have to say that I apologized last week on Friday to the comments that I said about the Rutgers women's basketball team, to the players, to the family. And when he apologized, it just opened, in my opinion, the floodgates. Because now what's offensive? What I say is offensive to me, how do you know it's offensive? I could watch Chris Matthews and say, he said something, I need to get an attorney, I want to sue because he offended, I want an apology. It just opened the floodgates. Because you may not agree with him, but he has the right to say that. You may not agree with the fact that, like, I'll tell you like this on my program. If you don't like the Bible and you don't like guns, then this probably ain't the show for you. But I don't expect you to say, okay, get me off the air. I expect you to sit there and say, you know what? He has a different viewpoint. He has the right to say that. You know what? Thank you, A&E. I love you, but if you don't support the Bible, we'll find a network that does. And we'll make sure that we let people know that if you're a man of God and support the Bible and support a Christian way of life, maybe A&E is not a network for you to watch. Now it's, well, we're gonna fight until we get to stay on the network instead of saying, hey, let's have an Aryan Brotherhood network, okay? Why not? I mean, there's a huge double standard in this world. Well, If he tried to have a white entertainment network, blacks would go ballistic. But there's a BET. And I think, and this is what I'm really liking, that's kind of a little off topic, but seeing these liberals like Bill Maher and stuff going off about this administration, because they're starting to realize, wait a minute here now. First of all, it's not a Republican in the White House. And second of all, liking what I'm seeing. They're finally, I think, some of these liberals are starting to wake up and say, you know what, well, there comes a point where I have no problem, you know. I mean, I can blame a Republican for doing something, but when these liberals are actually being threatened and their families are being threatened, if they say something, if they publish an article, that's what's scary. When the ex-executive editor of the New York Times said that there were like 4 or 5 articles, and if she were to publish these, she would have been, Lord help her. The blood would have been on her hands. They would have went off. They would have went after her. They were threatening her not to publish these. I mean, I think what Don Imus did is open the floodgates. They're okay now. Now, I refer to him now as the Cowboys and Redskins, since I can't say, since it's now offensive to say that W word in front of Redskins, you know, that identifies where the team's from. Since that's offensive anymore, I just call them the Cowboys and Redskins. So when I talk about the NFL come the start of the season, I will refer to them as the Cowboys and Redskins, because I don't want to offend anybody by using that W word. I don't. But it's just one of those things that I just don't, you know, I don't understand. Maybe I don't have the full picture yet. Maybe I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. I mean, I know several of my friends have told me that don't even know us, have said that me and my girlfriend have a piece of the puzzle that was missing, and we're each other's piece of the puzzle. And I kind of feel that's what's going on here. There's a piece of the puzzle with this that I'm not getting, you know, because I just feel like, well, now it's like, well, okay, we can, I don't know, well, because, well, you can't say that now. Even though you said it for 30 years, it's all of a sudden offensive. You're all of a sudden going to, you know, I don't, if someone comes up to me around December and they say, Happy Hanukkah, I'll say, well, I'll say two things. Shalom, because that's the only thing I know really Jewish. Or I might say, well, is there a correct response? Because I don't want to offend you. I want to support your fact that you say, I'm not going to sit there and go, excuse me, I need the manager here. This person told me Happy Hanukkah, and I just want to let you know that I am suing. I'm quitting. I can't work for a company I'm going to sue, but, you know, I mean, you said Happy Hanukkah to me, so I'm on a $452 million because, I mean, I am outraged. How dare they say Happy Hanukkah to me? You know, when a lady gets fired from U.S. Bank because she was saying, have a blessed day, it's great because I know now I'm never going to use their bank. You know, there's a second vote app on my phone, and you can get it, and you can look up and see what different companies support. And if they support gun laws, you can support them. If they're trying to abolish the Second Amendment right, then you can, you know, you can find out what companies support. You know, I agreed with Glenn Beck 100%. We need to close the border. Yes, we need to do something to cut off the border to keep illegals coming in, but at the same time, we can't do nothing to those kids. People are playing politics with innocent children. Well, what can I do to get the vote? What can I do? See, because if I'm seen as someone that's going to get all these and help all these Mexicans, bring them all here, guess what? All these Mexicans are going to vote for me because they're going to see, hey, you come across this border, I'm voting for this guy, and you vote for him, we'll get all this stuff. He'll give it to us. That's what so many people, I look at it as the Democrats just want to give freebies, and the Republicans are the people that are trying to be, are seen as trying to be fiscally responsible. None of them are, because as you can tell, the debt ceiling keeps rising, even though they both want to cut spending. But Democrats are trying to be seen as fiscally responsible. No, they're not. Both Republicans and Democrats are there. As I've said it before, if the Democrats in the White House, all the Democrats are there with that collection plate the size of Texas, trying to get any dime they can that's not nailed down. And the same thing with the Republicans. When the Republicans in the White House, every Republican is there with that collection plate the size of Texas, trying to get every dime that ain't nailed down. And when the Republicans in the White House, Democrats are bitching and spending. And when the Democrats in the White House, Republicans are bitching and spending. But guess what? All these Democrats and a Democrat-controlled Congress voted for all these spending bills and stimulus, not spending bills, excuse me, stimulus bills. They voted for all this. But when Bush was in office, how dare we spend? We can't spend. Oh, yeah. There's a difference between spending and a stimulus bill. In other words, same thing. You're the government. Anything they do, you're paying for it. It's we the people. We're the government. They want to buy pantyhose, you're paying for it. And it's good to see people waking up like that black group in Chicago that's like going off. It's nice to see these blacks that are standing up and finally, really, wow, what are they? Because, I mean, they must be racist. Because, I mean, they don't like Obama. If you don't like Obama, no matter what you are, you have to be racist because he's black. Because we all know that if Obama was white, everyone would be kissing his ass and saying he's doing a wonderful job. Whatever. But back to the point, and this one, I'm going to end this before I go on, but I really believe that, you know, when he apologized, it's just now you have all these people, now all these things suddenly are now offensive. You know, we got more important things, in my opinion, to worry about than someone being offended by the name of an NFL team. I'm sorry. This country has way more problems. We're not going to, the world is not going to spend itself out of debt. And that's what this world is doing. Take a dollar bill and a monopoly money. What's the difference? You believe one has value because they try to make it harder to duplicate. That's it. If you ever go to, I'll talk about this. I didn't plan on talking about this, but I'm going to talk about this. I invest in precious metals. And go to Atmex or go to Monex or go to any number, go to Goldline or whatever, get the information and find out if it's right for you. It's not right for everybody. But when they're going to change the formulation of nickels, basically any nickel you buy from, I think it's 2014, I think in 15 is when the new formulation is, but from 2014 on down to like as long as they've been made, that formulation has a 5-cent melt value. Has like just over 5 cents. It's like 101% the value of the melt. So if you were to melt it down, it's like 5.000643 cents per nickel. And they're changing the formulation on it so that it costs less than a nickel to make the nickel. But if you get any, the only thing you can get that besides a normal nickel is if you got a warm nickel where they have some silver in them. But if you don't get, and there are people that buy nickels just because there's a 5 cent metal value in it. And same way with the old 1981 and older pennies. They all have 2 cents or more of copper in them. And I just pull them out whenever I find them. I don't go out and, you know, to the bank and buy like $100 worth of pennies and sort through them. But, you know, some do. I just take them pull out the proper pennies when I find them. But I invest in silver mainly because it's what I can afford and I have been for years. But it's just, you know, it's just amazing that my point with investing is they keep devaluing the currency. They keep, well, how can we make this cheaper? How can we make that? How can we make it so that the quarter cost under a penny to make? Even, I guess, a pure steel penny would be a penny to make. So, you know. But, anyways, it's just one of those things that they keep devaluing the currency. And they just, I think, try to keep making the coins harder to duplicate and the dollars and stuff harder to duplicate because even since it's, since a dollar has no value, they need to make it really hard to duplicate so you can't counterfeit it. That's about how valuable it makes it. But that's enough of that. Now we're going to go on to a little bit of my roots. That, what I originally, before I did the myopathy shows and I talked about my myopathy, which I'm actually up to like 117, I think, in my support group now. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's amazing. But I did paranormal shows, and I watched specials every now and then, and there was one on why have we not been to Mars? Oh, we've been to Mars. We go there with rovers all the time, but why haven't we been back to the planet Moon? Our planet's Moon. Why haven't we been back to the Moon? And there's many people. I actually saw a special one time, and they showed up these photos, and I said, where are these photos taken? And they showed these photos, and, you know, in the Sahara Desert, or maybe it's part of the pyramids or whatever. Who knows? You know, but, you know, Sahara Desert, you know, whatever. One of the, you know, deserts in Africa or whatever, you know, pyramids. And they said, well, not one of you said that, who made these? Well, I'll tell you who made them. And I'm okay, man. I said, well, probably an ancient civilization like the Nazca people or whatever, this or that, you name it. And they said, well, none of you said that these were freaks of nature. I said, what are you talking about? Well, these photos are from Mars. We're the only people, we're the only civilization in this world. There is not life outside our planet. So these had to have been made by nature. And they said that most of these, some of these photos are like a billion to one odds that they were made by nature. They're too perfect and, you know, and some of the objects. And there's many people that said that there's evidence on when they landed on the moon and why they landed there and the time and all this. And there's evidence that it's calling with life. And there's a NASA transmission where they talk about this object that's following the ship. And as soon as they start talking about it, bang, you stop hearing about it. And what this guy goes, I can tell you what happened. They were talking, and as soon as he started to say his first two words, he realized he wasn't on the secure line, and that's when he switched over. That's why he instantly stopped hearing about it. There was a guy by the name of Gary McCannon. If you don't know, he's famous. He's a British guy that was like this. Go to Walmart, get a basic computer from Walmart, and you could have done what I did. I said I was hacking NASA and all this stuff. There were no firewalls. If you ever see those programs you can get on your computer, like where you can take your laptop and with this program you can get and bring up your computer at home so you can do work at home from your office. So if, oh, it's my kid's birthday, I'm going to go home, have this program, so I can be home for my kid's birthday, help out with the birthday party, and I can get on my computer and I can bring up my computer at work at home. So I can do work from my computer at work at home. And he goes, he found tons and tons of files that were retouched and untouched photos. And when you looked into the files, he found duplicate photos. And one would have an object that could not be explained away, so they basically edit out. And he goes, they basically are editing out all these photos, and they're taking objects in them that you cannot, when you can't explain away certain things in these photos, they're edited out. And he goes, and first of all, okay, if he was doing stuff at the military, which I don't know if he was or not, that's not what I'm talking about here, but if he was, okay, but what would it matter if he's looking at NASA photos? He was hacking NASA, like, so. Anybody could have done what he'd done. He wasn't really hacking because he didn't go buy any firewalls. But the point is, he was saying there were these untouched or retouched photos. And when they couldn't explain away something, they would edit it out. And that's what he said, there were people that's what their jobs were to do, was to take these photos. Like when they did the face on Mars, there were two photos of the original face on Mars, and what the two original photos proved is that it was not a shadow, because they were taken at two totally different times with different light, with lights in different directions, and it shows basically an identical object. And there's people that have come forward that said that they manipulated the recent photos of it to make it look like it was nothing, just because they can't explain it. Because, you know, because if you say life exists outside our planet, then you eventually have to say, well, let's throw the Bible out the window. And it's somewhat true in terms of this. There's a lady that's basically, if I was in court, I would go to jail on this evidence. And if it's a state that I have it, I'd probably go to the death chair or whatever. I'd probably leave some justice forever if I was convicted on this evidence. And the evidence shows that man was on Earth at the same time as dinosaurs. They found fossilized remains of bowls and stuff and feet and footprints on the same level as dinosaur bones, proving that man and human were on the planet at the same time as dinosaurs. But the media and science doesn't support that. And they don't want to, because it would have to rewrite our history, and they don't want to do that. So they discredit her. And it's sad, you know, because not many people realize this, but there was a lot of people that when it first came out, Roswell was considered a scare, because UFO crashed and there was mass panic. See, people don't look at things in terms of nice guys coming to visit, you know. You're thinking of Roswell, you're thinking of War in the Worlds because of what's going on with the fighting with us. You're not thinking in terms of NASA, you know, us just trying to explore and see what's out there. There was a lady, her husband, his name was Oliver Henderson. They called him Pack in the Air Force. And a lot of people, it was a weather balloon that fell. And it was debris like that. And she goes, it wasn't until 2 years in the 60s, 2 years before my husband's death, that I even heard about it. Because it was just like a weather balloon to us. And she goes, my husband, you know, was a very high up man. Well, first, to be at Roswell Air Base, you had to have the most highest security clearance, bar none. You had to have the highest security clearance, you know. It was the only atomic bomb unit in the world. And when he talked about how he was responsible for the disposal and burial of four beings not from this earth, she believed him. This was 2 years before he died, and he goes, you have no idea how hard it was to know that life exists outside our planet, and you can't tell anybody. I just had to tell you before I died. And this guy was responsible for some of the biggest highest regarded secrets the U.S. had. It's like Jesse Marcel Jr. said. He said, look at my dad in the photo where he has that piece of tinfoil. He just has this look of like, what the bleep is this? This ain't what I found. Ching, ching. He says, what the military claimed it was in the very beginning, I was given those by my dad. My dad would give me weather balloons all the time to play with and parts of radar targets to fool around with. He goes, my dad didn't wake me and my mom up at 1 a.m. in the morning to show us this stuff because it was a weather balloon. He goes, we used to sit and talk about what we thought this was, where we thought it came from. And you just wonder when the government's going to man up and say, yeah, we've known about life outside our planet. I've actually talked to people. And when you talk to people, all names and everything, you don't say names or anything. These people have on their lives, literally they have a contract that it don't matter, you know. You speak about this stuff, you lucky if you ever be seen again. You know, with confidentiality and stuff. And I've had people tell me, one guy told me, he goes, well, the government doesn't deny the existence of UFOs, they just don't believe they pose a threat. You don't have people panicking. And when you look at things like that, and you sit there like, why can't they just be honest and say, hey, you know, there's one guy that says, well, since the 50s, they've known that you could run a car completely off the energy around it. Like if you were to take like a 1-inch box, I'll make it a 3-inch box square, like a 3-inch by 3-inch cube, the energy inside that cube would be enough to run everything on this planet for a day. That much energy. And they've known since the 50s that they can run, you could run your house, you could run your car, and everything off of the energy around it. Where's the money going to come from? They don't want to lose the money from the oil companies. They don't want to lose money from gas. I mean, why do you think that why did the tobacco companies cover up? We're making billions of dollars. Why would we want to sit there and come out and say, hey, tobacco is dangerous, it causes cancer? You know? Like the scientists said with the tobacco wars, it was all about profit margins. Because it's a $1 billion industry. Why would you give it up? The $1 billion industry plus for oil and gas and all that, why would you want to give that up and say, okay, hey, we have technology. But I got about 90 seconds left, but that's what would have happened. If you know that a ship can come from, okay, really far away, this object has come from 500 times the distance that Pluto is from Earth. If you come out with that there's technology way above us, usually in our history on Earth, civilizations have gone down, but also you'd say, wait a minute here, why are we using a horse and buggy if they have technology that can go light speed? Why are we still using oil and gasoline, when I guarantee you these ships aren't using oil and gasoline, because we know you would actually need to go a certain distance in space, having rockets like we have to go into space, you would exponentially need more fuel than you would be able to carry. To go, let's say, 10 feet, you need this much fuel. Well, to go this far, you need this much fuel. Before you know it, you wouldn't be able to carry enough fuel to go this far. But that's pretty much all the time I have for you today. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Hope I made your day. God bless you, Lisa, Don, and all of them, and Melissa, and have a great day.